Good morning, welcome back to Nachi Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Tzadi Gimel, the 93rd Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. This is a very well-known, we should all recognize this. This is a short Mizmor, Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. This we say every week, a number of times. Let's try to understand it on its own terms. This Mizmor is extremely short. It is 5 psukim long. In terms of structure, the first 2 psukim talk about the kingship of Hashem being everlasting. It looks like when reading those first 2 psukim that it's looking backwards into the annals of history. The next 2 psukim, Gimel to Dalet, talk about the power Hashem has over his enemies with a metaphor of water, the breakers of in the sea. And finally, the last pasuk reestablishes Hashem as being in his dwelling place for all time. Hashem lo'erech yamim, Hashem will be for the eternity of days. In terms of the content and theme of this mizmor, it is interesting that the theme is that Hashem is all-powerful over all. That means to say over nature and all forces within it. In terms of the structure, it is very staccato, which means to say that each phrase is very punchy, it's very dense. There's 2 words, Hashem Malach, Geus Lavesh, Lavesh Hashem. So each section is very clearly distinct, and there are no connecting words. There's no Vav HaChibur, there's no ands, which means to say we're not talking about prose over here, we're talking about poetry. Every word is to be understood, every phrase is to be understood in its own terms. There are very deliberate repetitions relating to the poetic style. So for instance, Hashem Aloch Geus Lavesh, Lavesh Hashem, Oizi Sazar, Mikolos Maim Rabim, Adirim, Yishbereyam, Adiba Moram Hashem. So the words are repeated to read for the poetic style as well. In terms of the events behind this mizmor, the imagery which is conjured up in this mizmor reflect a few moments in history. There seems to be the reflection of the moment of creation, where we talk about Af Tikon Tevel Baltimot, you establish the world that it should not falter. But there's also the imagery of the splitting of the Red Sea. We're talking about that miracle that occurred after Exodus when the nation of Israel left the land of Egypt and the Egyptians were finally destroyed in the sea. There seems to be a lot of those descriptions. In fact, there are numerous word parallel. So for instance, in our Mizmor, Hashem Aloch, we talk about Hashem ruled Orech Yamim. In the Shir, the song which is sung after Shir, the Kriyas Yamsof, Hashem Yimloich Lo'olam Vayed, we say Hashem will rule. So it's the parallel opposite. We talk about in this Mizmor, Geus Lavesh, Hashem wears pride or this loftiness. We talk about in the Shir Shel Yom, Ki Goy Agoa, Hashem is lofty and proud. We say in this Mizmor, Oz His Azor, He girds strength. We say in the Shir Shel Yom, the Az Yashir, Azi V'Zimras Ka, my strength, and we talk about the strength of the singing towards God. Nachon Kisacho Me'oz, we say in this Mizmor, we talk about that His throne is established from eternity. We say in the Shir of the Sea, of Az Yashir, Machon L'Shivtecha Po'alto Hashem, again, your Machon, your place is established. We talk about in this Mizmor, Maim Rabim Adirim, very powerful and multitudes of waters. There we talk about B'Maim Adirim, the multiple waters that the Egyptians are sinking in. And we talk about No'av HaKodesh, the place of Hashem, here in the Mizmor of, in the Ashir Shel Yam, we say, Nehalta Ba'ozecha El Nevei Kochecha, to your holy place. So the word parallels are very, very clear. In fact, the two may be connected in a certain sense, because there are midrashim which discuss that during creation there was this, so to speak, metaphoric battle where Hashem, so to speak, humbled the Saroi Shel Yom, the spiritual agent representing the seas. So Hashem put nature into its place, and that was represented by the way that Hashem singled out the powers of water in the world, and that perhaps was expressed again at Kriyas Yamsov. However, the way the Malbim looks at this Mizmor, in terms of putting these events together, is he says that the Mizmor is describing there are 2 ways that the Almighty Hashem interacts with this world. One is what he calls Geus, which is, so to speak, pride or above, which is supernatural. The other one is Oiz, which is strength, which is the natural. And these are 2 modes of existence that the world lives in, which are supported by Hashem. The more constant one requires a lot of strength because it's holding the whole structure into place, recreating, providing the continued energy for creation to remain operating. And then at certain moments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away the netting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the rules to allow a miracle to happen. And the Malbim says very clearly, he says, Sh'im nikra zois, b'shem nes. Even though we call something a nes, which is a miracle, ma she'nase adover la mitzad koyach atzmoy, rak mitzad dvar Hashem v'koychoy, tiyeh ha'teva, Nes Kavua. Then you'll realize through seeing the miracle that everything which is consistently existing and obeying its rules, in fact, is a continual miracle. So miracles are there to show us that everything, in fact, the fact that nature obeys laws, the fact that nature is constant, the fact that the universe can be predictable because we understand its laws, is in fact a miracle in and of itself. Which means that the Geus and the Oz, the two different ways that Hashem operates in this world, in fact are two sides of really the same coin, which is why creation and Kriyas Yamsuf are really the same thing. The creation of the world, which would operate in its rules, and the superseding of those rules which happen at Kriyas Yamsuf, in fact are displaying the same expression of the Ribono Shel Olam, the Almighty in this universe. And that's perhaps what this Mizmor is talking about. Another way of looking at this Mizmor in a different perspective is, as the Radak suggests, this could be referring to imagery at the end of times. Meaning, we're talking about the apocalyptical battle of the war of Gog and Magog. We're talking about the end of times where Hashem will be imminent in the world when he'll vanquish the nations. And the vehicles of describing those battles, the vehicles of describing those struggles are the waves, are the waters, are the crashing breakers, which are being described over here for the war at the end of times, where Hashem ultimately will be La'arech Yamim, will rule for all eternity. In terms of the places in our davening this appears, it should be pretty obvious to us that this appears at the during Kabbalah Shabbos and the Pesukei Dezimra of Shabbos and Yom Tov. It is added in right where it appears in Tehillim, right after Tzadi Beis, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. It appears as it appears in Tehillim in that same constellation in the davening. It is clearly connected to Shabbos and Yom Tov. In fact, it is the Shir Shel Yom, it is the daily Mizmor of Fridays, connecting it to Shabbos, which actually puts it before and after Mizmor Tzadi Beis, on the Mizmor Shir Shel Yom HaShabbos. Why is that? So the Chidah suggests, brings a lot of very fascinating Kabbalistic ideas. The Chidah in his Pirush Chomas Anach explains that the word Hashem Alok Eus Lavesh, the first three words of this Mizmor are the same gematria of Mashiach ben David. It refers to the Messianic times, like the Radak in a certain sense. And he points out that the Arizal would used to say that the word Geus Lavesh is actually a acronym for Goel Shabbas Bizchus Shabbas Tavoy HaGeula, that the redemption will come through the adherence to Shabbos, as Chazal tell us, that Rabbeinu Tam quotes the Midrash, that Ein Yisrael Nigalim Ad Sheyishmeru Es HaShabbos, that only when we keep the Sabbath, only when we keep the Shabbos will we be redeemed. Why is that? So the Chidah suggests that because ultimately Shabbos is a testimony to creation, when a person has the ability to be able to see God, that Ein Od Milvado, that there is nothing else beside him, there is nothing we can hide behind, there's nothing we can explain away, there's nothing that we can say is simply the way it is and therefore has no theological implications. As the Malbim says, when we realize that every aspect of nature is in fact a miracle, is an expression of godliness, when can we do that? When we, on Shabbos, and we testify to creation, we testify to the continued transcendent reality of God through nature, then at such a time on Shabbos, we will bring redemption, because we say that there is nothing besides God. There is no evil, there's no difficulty beside him. That brings on to the world of Geula. Finally, just to understand the last pasuk, Edosecho ne'emnu me'od leveischo navakodesh, your Edosecho, which is translated by your decrees, are enduring. What are these decrees which are enduring, which will bring about Hashem la'orech yamim? The Malbim says it's looking at nature itself. We see the power of Hashem in the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing. Another way of looking at it is, as the Radak and the Metzoros points out, is saying Edosecho is referring to your divine decrees. Hashem, you promised us. You told us that you'd be coming. You told us there's Mashiach. You told us that there's a salvation. Yes, and we know that even at times when it looks like it's really dark and we suffer a tremendous amount, it looks like there's no accountability, no transparency. Hashem, we know it's coming. We know the Geula is coming. And that's a Friday thought. That's the thought that leads us into Yom Shekulo Shabbos. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.